Blog Talk Radio.
You're literally listening to the power of performance.
We do have that effect on many, many people. Hey, so tell us, Dr. Troy, what has it meant when you say practical leadership and global perspective?
Well, practical leadership is the ability to take the sometimes the complex issues of dealing with people and handling projects and handling developmental issues or concerns and being able to bring it down to an individual level that you are able to take action immediately. And from a global perspective, it just basically means this, that today we cannot ignore that what happens with where we are standing today, that activity or action that we take does not impact someone somewhere else, because it does. And we are much more globally connected than what we've ever given ourselves credit for. And we've always been like that, but it's now an awakening of understanding it. And I think that the item that brought it to home more than anything else was looking at the global financial meltdown and the impact that it had around the globe. So practical leadership with a global perspective is understanding that you can take complex concepts of leadership and put them into application every single day. And part of what I do is actually break that down for you so that you can actually make it happen and keep the global perspective and understand that what you do right now is not in a vacuum, that what you do has a ripple effect in other areas, in other spaces, because we are all connected.
And you saw that put into practice out in Kenya, didn't you?
I did. One of the things that was very enlightening for me was the conversations that occurred from multiple touch points in multiple ways. It would have been impossible to have orchestrated a trip where so many individuals would have sought me out to be able to say, you are the only person I should give a red carpet treatment to. You're the only person that I should do something nice for. You're the only person that I should care for. Because what happened is all of my interactions from the moment that I stepped off the plane until I was able to go back onto the plane again was surrounded by individuals who were focused on how to work with people. And I was considered part of the people to work with. When I explained that I was from the United States, this was my first trip to Kenya, I got more information than what you may have received if somebody had been there on a continual basis. But I was included. I was thought about. I was cared for. And what I began to recognize immediately was the difference between a collective culture of service versus one that might have compassion, but be driven from an individual perspective of what I gain personally.
Right. Like somebody who goes off and does a medical mission and they come back feeling like they've enhanced their own medical training. And what you're saying is that you saw the power of cooperation put into practice with lots and lots of different people coming together to do this. And just so people who may not have heard the last few shows, just real briefly, tell folks what you were doing out in Kenya.
Well, I was a part of an initiative with the National Credit Union Foundation, its work with the World Council of Credit Unions, and the National Trade Association of Africa called ACOSCA. And in the partnership of that, it was a leadership development program to better understand what was happening in the cooperative financials model in this state of or in the country of Africa. And so I was part of a leadership group that was selected to go there. And there were representatives from Scotland, England, Canada, the Caribbean, the United States, and then several of the connecting countries of Africa. And the purpose of the activity, in addition to having us interchange and understand and have a better cultural relationship, it was about taking the collective model of the financial cooperative world and uniting a continent. And the intent behind it was not to unite the continent for the profit that would be gained by the individual institution or by the trade associations or the legislative groups. It was for the betterment of the people. And so truly the uniting of the continent was about the opportunity for transformation. So it was transformation for the individual people, because the focus of the event, the focus of the mission, the focus of the vision is on the others. It's on the followers. It's on other individuals. And that's where the work of transformation begins. It begins not in your own lap, but in the minds and in the fields and the activities of others.
Absolutely. Now, of course, practical leadership and a global perspective. Here in the United States, we are part of the global perspective. How do we apply some of the best things that you saw over in Kenya here at the in the credit union marketplace stateside?
One of the things that I recognized is that in addition to the fact that all cooperatives operate under 9 international principles, specifically the financial cooperative model deals with its formation through democracy, its service to its members, to the core group, but it then adds that additional layer of complexity, which is its focus of social responsibility. And to basically understand that credit unions were first formed under a social purpose of people helping people help themselves, it was to provide access to financial services that could improve the conditions of an individual's life. There are 6 primary developmental issues present in the country of Africa that are present around the world in varying degrees. Those 6 particular developmental issues are hunger, housing, conflicts, egalitarianism, or in this case, the equality of gender or the equal access to all gender, youth, and agriculture, or broadening the scope, you could talk about commerce. And what I began to recognize, my practical application of leadership in this, is to know that if the fundamental model, the cooperative model, does not begin to address those fundamental developmental issues, then there will not be an opportunity for transformation or change. That in the concept of when people are worried about how they are going to be fed or sheltered, they will not worry about whether they are saving money. They will not worry about whether they have found a credit source. They will not worry about whether the youth are handled. They will not worry about, because they will be held back because their basic primary needs are not met. And if we apply that to what we know through leadership and motivation, it really once again brings value to why Maslow's theory, his motivational hierarchy theory, was so important. Is because it fundamentally says that to get to a point of self-actualization, you must take care of a variety of needs first and move it along. And when you study other areas of motivation, such as Hertzberg's 2-factor motivation of dealing with the motivators and hygiene factors, and when you look at McClellan's motivational theory that deals with the achievement and deals with the affiliation and deals with power, all of those work from a moment of self-actualization, a moment in which you have already assumed that your basic needs are handled. So with that, it practically says to me, we must make sure that the cooperative model, specifically the cooperative financial model, must deal with those basic needs before we can start dealing with conflicts and gender and that, and provide for the well-being of the individual, because their safety and security and shelter must be handled first.